Well, brother, it's been an interesting day so far. I think we certainly got our heads in order when we discuss things like prophecy, and I think it's always profitable. Tells us what we're after, what we're for, why we're here. And we know that this world has to at least transition at some point. So those discussions are always interesting. Meanwhile, we have a group here that we meet with. We have a group that we talk to. And I'd like you to first, before we even start this discussion, first, I want you to click on your participants so you can draw up your participants list on the side of your screen. So if everybody can do that, and incidentally, you can turn your videos back on if you want to. I'd like to see your faces when we discuss this. This is really going to be participation. So look at your participant list. Everybody got their participant list up on your right-hand side. I know if you're calling in on the phone, you can't do that. All right. Now we have, according to my, at least what I see here, 99 participants, which means 99 connections. I'd like each of you to just scroll through those participants. And if you have a pen and paper there, I would like you to tell me which ones of those I would like you to pick. Well, it's hard to go through 99, but I want you to pick out three that you say you have a close connection with, not just as a brother or sister in Christ, but individually as well. And there will be a purpose in why we're doing this. And I'm going to give you just a couple minutes to do that. And these would be people that you have great confidence in, that you can speak confidentially, you can speak heart to heart. While you're doing that, I'm going to read a couple scriptures for you. The first one is in Exodus 33. Exodus 33:11. And I'll be reading, the scriptures I'm reading will be from the RVIC version. Exodus 33:11 says, "And Jehovah spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp, but his minister Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tent. Jehovah spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend." The other one I want to read is in John 15th chapter. John 15, 15. John 15, 15. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And as we know, this is his conversation on the way to Gethsemane. John 15, 15, he says, "No longer do I call you servants." And that word servants also means bond servants. "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I've known unto you." Two incidents. Wouldn't you like to be called a friend of God? And what does that mean? And Jesus, no longer servants, friend, but friends. Now, was there anybody that was not able to get at least three names out of that group? If you do, just electronically raise your hand. If you were not able to find at least three out of that group that you would consider a close personal friend besides a spiritual friend. Brother Tom, okay, we have a few. So what we want to do, now that's interesting. So most of you were able to find some that you would consider a close personal friend as well. Now I'd like all of you to look at that list and come up with at least 99 names, 98 names that you would consider a spiritual friend. Well, of course, I'm joking with that, right? My point is, I think there is, we want to talk about the difference, and I'm going to put this up in our the questions that I'm going to ask today. Let me just get this, hang on a second here. We want to talk about these two things, personal relationship and spiritual relationship. And can you have both with the same person? We're going to look at a couple of scriptures here that talk about how we be a better friend to our brethren. We're going to talk about Mary's act of washing Jesus' feet. Examples of how we would apply Galatians 6:2 and Hebrews 3:13 in our spiritual relationships, and then try to identify some principles to maintain that. So that's our goal. And so this is really more about the heart in many ways than the head. So as you looked at that and developed your list, let's look at that. Let me just, that first question I ask you, what would you say is the difference between a personal relationship and a spiritual relationship? And can you have that with the same, can you have it with the same person? Anyone want to take a stab at that? What do you consider a close, a personal friend to be? Okay, Sister Lee Manzik. And unmute yourself, please.
Thank you. Forgot to do that. Could you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
What would you consider to be the elements of a close personal relationship or a personal friend as opposed to a spiritual friend?
Can I name names? Is that okay?
As long as that person doesn't object, that's fine with me. Yes.
If he does, too bad.
Okay.
I'm going to say Jeff and Astera Mesra. They're my personal friends. They are also my spiritual friends. I can discuss anything with them, whether it's my personal life or whether it's scriptural questions or anything at all. And they treat me as a loving sister, and I treat them as a loving sister and brother. And there's no question, I don't think there's any questions that I would have a problem with discussing with them, whether it's spiritual or personal. I hope I answered your question.
Oh, that's been that's a terrific answer, because it's exactly kind of what we're trying to get at is this, personal relationship and spiritual. I think because as we'll see, there's a lot of spiritual relationship. We all have a spiritual relationship. How do we go further than that? Because my belief is we need to do that. And we could resolve a lot of issues between brethren if we could do that, is become closer together as a personal friend to understand each other. So your initial response was just perfect, Sister Lee. Thank you. Sister Gretchen Grice.
Well, our spiritual family are people that we don't even know. They could be anybody that's anywhere in the world, but they could also be friends, like Lee was talking about, people that we have a close bond with. So even though they're, but you can also have friends in the world, personal friends in the world that are not your spiritual family. So it's like, yes, yes, no, 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 yes. But personal relationships with people can go very deep, and you can have them for many different reasons, because it's the reason why support groups work, is because you have something in common, things that you can share together, things that you can go deep into your psyches and things like that. But then we have friends that, you know, we get together with, you go out for dinner, but you wouldn't necessarily share things with. So there's different kind of personal friendships.
Okay, you're hitting on some important points that we're going to come back to on this idea of building those kinds of things. Next, Sister Jan Bora.
Yes, thank you. I have personal friends, not that many, outside of the truth, but our class, our Albuquerque Ecclesia, they are my personal and spiritual friends. I mean, I share so much with them, and they are always there for me. And so I'm just so thankful for that. But then I also have other friends, you know, that are spiritual friends too. And I see a lot of their faces right on this screen. So, and you're one of them, you and Gretchen. So thank you.
Thank you, Sister Jan. Yeah, I think as we're seeing, you know, you can have the idea that you have an intense spiritual relationship and a personal relationship built upon that. That's what really ties us together in many ways, because we are indeed running the same race together and the same cause. I think about the esprit de corps, the term that gets used by the Marines, you know, that spirit of fellowship. So next, Sister Lena Turner.
Good afternoon, brethren. I started scribbling notes as Sister Lee was talking. And to me, the spiritual relationship builds on top of a personal relationship often. And in personal relationships, the words I scribbled down were intimacy, respect, vulnerability, trust, and honesty. And I think we need all of those same things when we grow into a spiritual relationship with someone. I think we do sometimes have spiritual relationships outside of the truth, but those then add on the sense of a shared belief or faith. Over.
Great. Yeah. And I think we're seeing this differentiation here, but the importance of having these relationships, personal relationships, is very important. Okay, Sister Sandy Thomason, you're next.
Well, I want to read you the Arabian proverb on what a friend is, okay. Because it says it all for me. A friend is one to whom you may pour your heart out, pour out all your heart, the contents, chaff and grain together. Knowing the gentlest of hands will take it and sift it, keep what is worth keeping, and with a breath of kindness, blow the rest away. And I have those friends, but they're not many. They don't come that many that just take you for what you are. And like someone said last night, you know, God's not looking at what we are right now, but what we're going to become. And I think that's how some of my friendships have started. You know, we looked at each other for what we knew they could be and not what they were at the moment. But it's this taking the good and the bad and blowing away the bad. Over.
Okay, thank you. Sister Kathy Brooks is next. Oh, I'm sorry. No, hang on. Sister Lorianne Kessler, you're next.
Thank you. Yeah, I just kind of going on with all everybody else is sharing. I mean, when you have, when you come together, you know, within a, I mean, you almost become like a family unit. I mean, you, when you have a friendship or a fellowship, I mean, you share personal vulnerability together. You have a commonality, you become like a community, I guess. You share that sense of, I don't know. I mean, you just become that, you just become that community of fellowship with one another. Whether it's spiritual or, personal friendship, it's, you want somebody to share your vulnerability. You want them to know you. I guess that, I mean, that's been my experience. You want somebody to know, to understand you, and you want to understand them. I guess that's where I would leave that at. Over.
It's a great, good comment. It reminds me of a Dale Carnegie quote, which I always liked. It says, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. And I think that's really the key I'm hearing. It's people that you feel you are interested in as well as they reciprocate with you. And that's a relationship that we need to build within the brotherhood even. Because I think all of you that had your hands up, didn't have your hands up, say, you know, you saw those kind of people on here. And so that's where we want to focus is how do we enhance that so that we broaden our perspective and we can have that kind of a relationship with many others. Sister Kathy Brooks, your turn.
Yes, brother. First, I would say I love Sandy and I miss her coming out at the retirement center, by the way. And but what I wanted to say is spiritual friends are all over the world. They don't even know you. They welcome you into their home. And that never changes. That's a close, that has to do with the Heavenly Father and our Lord, because we all feel the same way. We're all seeking the same thing, to be with our Lord. On the personal level, I think that husband and wife have an advantage because they can run it by each other. They won't be accused of evil speaking because they can, you know, it was a hard thing they're going through, a single person, and they bring it up to someone else. They may say, well, I can't answer that because that'd be evil speaking. So I think the married couples have a great advantage over the single ones. And so you have to find some way to figure it out yourself, scripturally or perhaps with an, you know, you could figure out what you're troubled by or what brother or sister you're troubled by rather than, you know, there's problems that come up in your life and you'd like to sort it out. But so what I'm saying, brother, is you have an advantage. Thank you.
Okay, that's a fair point. Right, because there's already a close relationship, and if you build that, but not every marriage is friends. Marrying a friend is really a great ideal, and that can be very positive. And a spiritual friend, even more. So it's a point well taken. Now we're going to hear from someone who raised her hand that they didn't find anybody on the list, Brother Aaron Keymichael.
Yeah, I was just listening and observing, and I noticed that the first 5 or 6 comments were all from sisters. And I think that if for a woman, it's easier to make friends, and they're much more vocal and open about it. From a guy's perspective, you know, two guys can be together and like each other very much and not hardly even communicate at all. Just being with a fellow guy is many times often enough. So I, as a man, I find it very difficult to find somebody that I would say I'm close enough to that I could just open up and bare my heart. Now, there have been times where I have interacted with sisters, and I'm looking at one sister right now, Sister Pat, who has opened up her heart to me, and I've, you know, and she's been a really good sounding board for me to her as well. But I think if I had the name, and I'm not going to embarrass them, if I were to say if I had any one individual, I would say it's Brother Tom Gilbert. He's absolutely my best friend. And I also would say that a spiritual friend that I've seen one time in the last 3 years. And we talk seldom, but we've worked together for, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. We bonded. And he's a Christian, but he's not in our fellowship. And we just bonded as two men. And I've never had that experience before, not even amongst the brethren. And not even with Brother Tom, that bond that I have with this man, Jim, is different. And I don't know why that is, but for a male, like I said, we have a little different view on things. We're supposed to be the man. We're supposed to be the strong person. We're the ones that typically others come to for support and strength. So it's very, very, very different relationship between guys and a guy with a woman, I believe, than it is for women to women and women to men. And so that's my comment.
I appreciate you raising that, Aaron, because we might get some feedback on that. But I think as we think about that, is it important that we do have that amongst our brethren, we do have male or female, that we do have these relationships? Because when we think about it, and I got two more hands I will get to, we know that loving the brotherhood is a command. And we had it from Jesus, of course, he says that in John 17, this new command they give you, that you love one another. 1 Peter 4:8, we have that written. But sometimes it's not as easy. Remember in Job, and Job's, I had a talk called Job's Miserable Comforters, because all of them were there to help him, but there was one that just sat and listened, and that was important. So being a friend, I think a personal friend, does help us endure kind of the rigors that we have the way, and that's the whole point behind this. Someone that we don't have to keep our spiritual, what should I say, face up time, that we can fall once in a while, and they're not going to hold that against us. Okay, Brother Dan Wessel, please.
Thank you for sharing that about Job's comforters. I always loved that story and amazed that, what was it, 7 days that they just sat there in silence with him. That's a friend, to just be there with you. And they were willing not to say anything. They understood the misery that he was going through. So that's sometimes what we need to give our brethren, not necessarily a word, but just be there for them, be next to them. And then something that we studied in our ecclesia, I found a link to what do we mean by personal relationships. And your question was, what do we mean by personal relationships? So this fit really well, I thought, for friends.
Right.
A friendship can be thought of as a close tie between two people that is often built upon mutual experiences, shared interests, proximity, and emotional bonding. Friends are able to turn to each other in times of need. The average person has about 6 close ties, though some have more and many have only one or none. Note that online friends don't count toward close ties. Research indicates that a large online network isn't nearly as powerful as having a few close real-life friends. And I'll stop. Thanks.
That's really good, Dan. Yeah, thank you. And that's true. I think, as we'll find, we've got, and I like the comments, that we have many, many spiritual friends. But within that, we need to make sure that we have some that we can count as close, ones that we can just kind of be ourselves to, not be in a constant state of kind of on guard. So, okay, Sister Linda Larson, please.
To piggyback on Brother Aaron's comment, there's an anecdote that about Brother Russell, that he did have a moment in his life where he needed some comfort and consolation, and he sought out a sister, I have no idea who she was, and asked to have a meal with her at a convention, just the two of them, where he sought her compassion and comfort as a friend. And I've always thought about that and, you know, wondered what a trial it must have been not to have someone he could turn to regularly. And in regard to what Sister Kathy was saying, yes, there is a certain comfort in turning to a spouse, a woman to a man, to ask advice. But unfortunately, the male of the species is wired to fix the problem for you. And the female of the species is looking for comfort. So sometimes you, as a woman, you need another woman. And our sisters feel that, regardless of whether or not we are married, just to give her some comfort along that line. Thank you.
Sister Linda, that's I appreciate that comment. And it reminds me, we heard, I don't know, it was a talk recently, and I don't know what talk it was, but someone mentioned about the difference between men and women. Gretchen, do you remember that? And he said that a man is a
I think top. Tom Gilbert.
Tom Gilbert. Is Tom Gilbert yeah. on? I don't think Tom's on.
No, I think he gave the talk, Tom Gilbert.
Tom gave the talk, but I wonder if he was on. He could mention it. But what Tom said is that, you know, the difference is sometimes for a man, a woman just wants to talk and have someone to hear. But a guy always looks at every issue as a problem and wants to solve it. So sometimes if someone's talking to you, they're not looking for a solution. They just want you to listen. Where sometimes guys think they have to always fix something. So there is an element of that. All right, a couple more comments, and we're going to move to some conclusions on this. Okay, Sister Pat Slavich.
Tom Gilbert, I'm sure, gave a comment about that, but also Joe Migas at the Detroit Convention.
That was Joe. Yes, you're right. It was Joe, now that you mention that. Thank you.
And the only other thing I was going to make a comment on is that over the process of our lives and our consecrated walk, we're headed towards trying to develop agape love. And I think for me, what I found is that you increase the number of brethren that you can share with or just let down your hair and be who you are, because I think it's kind of an element of honesty within the brotherhood. And you know that it might be a witness to someone else to know that we all have failings. And we all have to stand up, and we all have our personal struggles, spiritual struggles, and we share in testimony meeting. And I think in Orlando, it's really been lovely since John and I moved here. The testimony meetings have make us closer because we share conflicts or that we have personal inward conflicts, or we share life experiences. And then I only also thought about personal friends that I have that aren't in the truth. In fact, I found that I can share spiritual thoughts with them. And it isn't rancorous. It's just sharing, and we can accept each other and get a blessing from it still. And you become closer to them as well. So what I'm trying to say is that I think as we walk in our walk that we become we combine the personal and the spiritual in a bigger, fuller way. Over.
It's an excellent comment. And I think you're right. The testimony meetings can be a key. If we're truly testifying from our heart, we can build those relationships and they become very precious. And the whole point is we develop this whole, the better condition of not just agape love, but the filial love. And that's that deep personal relationship. I think we all have that brotherhood love, the agape love, but developing that personal relationship. I remember going to Romania the first time. I think Brother Jim is on Parkinson, but I remember going to Romania with Brother Jim, and they, brethren the first time wanted to know, why are we coming over there? And Jim stood up and said, well, I kind of wanted to get to know those that I'm going to be spending the next 1,000 years with. And, you know, that's the intensity of trying to develop and learn, brother, because we develop some really powerful relationships that can help. Okay, Brother Richard Hoyt, next, please.
Just a brief comparison.
Uh-huh.
My wife and I were raised, well, not raised, we spent over 40 years as Jehovah's Witnesses, who we thought we developed a bond, a brotherhood with. But yet, when we see the brotherhood here, how you can have different opinions on doctrinal matters, this is what we see on the screen, and yet love one another and be friends, and you have opportunities to face-to-face develop a friendship, a bond. my wife and I were foreign to that for so long that the fear of being cut off as a Jehovah's Witness. Here you had all these friends and bang, just like that, they disappear. Disfellowshipping is permanent. No matter how you had a bond with an individual, you're cut off. This is totally contrary to the Lord Jehovah and his son's love. And it is beautiful to be able to see in a balanced way how you can serve Jehovah as a consecrated a servant and yet still show proper love for the world, for those that don't believe as we do, but show them love. And deeply, deeply love the brotherhood, one another. And I just thought that contrast is just blatant out there. And if anything, it shows what Jesus said, you will identify my disciples by the love, the pure, true love they have for one another. Over.
Thank you, Brother Richard. Yeah, it's, I think one of the real benefits as I've looked at what's happened in the last year, is I would bet even though most of us can't meet together, and one of the reasons I wanted to do this study, I would bet, I don't want to say I would bet, I believe that we have done this very thing. I believe we have built more relationships because we're spending more time when we're together on intense fellowship and building these things and understanding and getting to know each other. And that's a big part, fellowship. So in many ways, the Lord's overruling in this has allowed us to build a more credible and a more powerful relationship one with another. Brother David Rice.
Well, not so much a comment as just a question. Sister Linda Larson mentioned a experience of Brother Russell. What is the source of that? Just personal information from long ago, or was there some source on that?
Sister Linda,
like I said, it's an anecdote that I've heard a couple of times, but I can't recall the source. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. That's all. Thanks, Lynn.
All right. My good friend, Brother Jim Parkinson.
Well, what Brother mentioned calls to mind Brother George Wiseman, that when he left the Witnesses, the first meeting he attended, he said, the brother who was leading the study gave a thought, and another brother in the audience gave a thought which was different than that, and he says, I thought they were going to get into a fist fight, and surprise, they didn't.
Yep, and that's it. I mean, that's a true friend, isn't it? You can tell them your mind. We had, I'm going to get Sister Janice's comment, and then I want to tell you a story about a friend we consider that we had. Sister Janice Brantner, please.
Thank you, Brother Lynn. Well, you know, I just love this discussion. It's great. You know, I'm just so blessed to have many very close friendships with brethren. And part of that is time. Now, I've been consecrated for 52 years. And over that time, I have traveled and I've met brethren and, you know, just years and years go by and you've shared so many experiences and, you know, just that, and, you know, and I'm still here and they're still here. And that really just means a lot. But there's another kind that just sort of happens really quickly. And it happened to us a few years ago. We just, you went on a cruise with 12 other brethren. Some we knew, most we did not know. And one other couple we just bonded with so instantly, and we just wanted to spend a lot of time together, and we just felt like we were best friends. And you know, so there's that kind too, and it's just you know, both kinds are really important. And I'm just thankful, you know, for all, you know. But the other side of that is, you know, sometimes we do find brethren that you know, that I've actually been disfellowshipped by a few brethren because we disagreed on, you know, something. And, you know, it just kind of shocked me, you know, like I disagree with people all the time. Usually it's fine. Okay. You know, like, you know, that's one way of seeing it, and that's another way, right, Brother Bob Brand is in there. You know, he's not the one that disfellowed, not one of the ones that disfellowed. I mean, we're still friends. So it's sad. It's very sad when that happens, when that happens between brethren. And that's a big heartache for me, but nothing I can do to change that. But anyway, sorry. Oh. Over.
Excellent point, and I think that's what we're trying to get past, that has to happen, because if we're truly a friend and close to our brother, we can accept differences and still have that same intense feeling and relationship. Jim, did you have another comment?
I was just going to comment on that many, many years ago, I decided that when somebody says you can have either our fellowship or theirs, but not both, whoever gives me the ultimatum first loses.
Well, if you go online and somebody mentioned, Brother Dan mentioned that, I think, something, and you look up relationships, you'll find, I found 429 million sites, believe it or not. I didn't know there were that many, but hits about building relationships. Now, a relationship, what we've said, is two people kind of eliciting responses from each other. It's a give and take. And that's important, I think, when we have something built around the truth. We have fellowship on that. But also, there are times in our life when we have sorrows, we have perplexities, and offering a helping hand, a sincere friendliness without judgment, and without having to feel one is captain, give advice, whether it's financial embarrassment, it's bereavement, family cares, anxiety. That's important. I want to look up Proverbs 17:17. So if someone could look that up for me and get that, it would be helpful. Proverbs 17:17. Okay, Sister Lena.
A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity.
There's two elements there. The reason I like that passage, because it's a friend and a brother, right? A friend at all times and a brother for adversity. And that's the key, is being a friend and a brother, is being able to support people during difficult times. It's not just about having fun together, discussions, it's being able to be there for one another. And I mentioned, I'm glad Sister Lena read that verse, because I want to talk about someone she knew very well, and that's her aunt, Angela Snyder from Grand Rapids. Gretchen and I, when we were married, Sister Angela was a true friend. She would come and watch our kids when we were going away on a business trip or something. But the other thing she would do is scold us if we were doing something she thought was wrong. And she would say, you know, now Lenny, now Gretchen. And that's a true friend. That's someone, and coming from someone in the truth, someone that has the same thoughts and causes we do. We're all building the same kind of thing. This message we have together, we're waiting for the kingdom, and all the things that we have that go along with that. That's what's important, that we can feel that closeness with our brother. And I think that's really what Jesus was saying when he said, this is the new commandment I give you, that you love one another. It's not just about, it's a love because of the cause, but it goes deeper into understanding and helping one another. Okay. Thanks for all your input on that. I want to look. Oh, Gretchen, go ahead. Unmute yourself.
Yep. I know I got all these different things I got to do before I can speak. I've heard people say, and even I've said it myself, I love all the brethren, but I don't like them all. And I know that's the wrong attitude. How do you get over that? Have you?
It's a fair question. And I think that gets at the heart of what we're saying. How do you get this kind of a building towards this kind of a relationship with individual brethren? What can you do? Or do you just say, well, sometimes it's just not possible. But when we talk about the four quarter marks, whether you believe that's a legitimate way to look at it or not, but that's that intensity of being able to love under all circumstances. And that love, what's different than that, than what she's mentioning is liking. Okay, Brother Aaron, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that question. I've often, well, I can't say often, but I have told my daughters that I love you, but I do not like what you are doing. I think sometimes when we say we don't like the brethren, I think, at least in my instances, I may not like their mannerisms, or there might be just something that rubs me the wrong way, or I do not like the way they present themselves, you know, how they come across or whatever. But it doesn't mean I don't necessarily love them. And I think the Lord Jesus has that example for us. You know, he was willing to die for those who were crucifying him. He was willing to die for those who taunted him. Do you think he liked those men? I don't think so. But I think he loved them. And I think that's the difference. So if the way I relate with that is that I think it's okay to not really like somebody. As long as it's not a hatred. And as long as you understand what it is that you don't like. And still have that higher love for them. So over.
Okay, interesting. We're going to close this discussion out at the end with some ways that I think, when I mentioned this last question, three principles to build better spiritual relationships, to get closer to being a personal friend as well as a spiritual friend. So we'll reserve that, but I appreciate you bringing that up, Aaron, because I think there's a way we can go at that. So next, Sister Pat Slavich, who says John on her picture.
I forgot to change that one. Thanks, honey. I was in a hurry to get in. I was thinking about something that, you know, helps me as far as a tool when it's really, like you said, it may be something that person does, a brother does, or something that kind of rubs you the wrong way. You know, we all experience that, I think. What makes it easier is, you know, Christ doesn't let us off the hook on that one. Because he's always talking about, why are you commenting about the splinter in your brother's eye and ignoring the beam in your own? So usually when I'm, you know, noticing something that annoys me, I realize that I better start looking in the mirror, because I probably either A, have that same quality, or B, I've got a bigger problem than that person does. And so I think... And it goes along with, you know, Mary Ellen Batchelor always says, Christ, you know, Christ died when you're thinking of seeing something in the world or seeing something. Christ died for all of us while we were yet sinners. So Christ died for each one of us. And especially with the brotherhood, there are brothers, and Jesus commanded us to love one another. So I think that we have to try to show more patience, more kindness to that person. And we have to figure out what it is in us that, you know, we have to kind of get over the personal thing and let go of the old man and look for qualities that Christ sees in that person. And that makes it easier, I think. I think it does get easier as you get older and practice more and take a look at what our Heavenly Father's and our Lord Jesus is, they're expecting of us. And you can let go of the irritations and look at the beauties.
Thank you. And that fits with one of the things we'll discuss when we get to this last point about where do we go to try to do a better job at building these. So Brother Bob, did you pulled your hand down?
Well, I'll make a comment. And, you know, we know that Jesus loved all the disciples, but he showed favor to some. Peter, James, and John, I think on three occasions, were separated out for special privileges. And also, he wasn't an apostle, but Lazarus, when he was ill, the only thing said to Jesus is, the one whom you love is sick, and no name given. And he apparently knew who was being spoken of, because they, especially with, you know, he stayed with Mary and Martha and Lazarus in their home and were very close. So loved them all, but just would maybe had a special bond with a few.
And I think that's the way we want to look at it. We're, you can't have 144,000 friends, personal friends, but we ought to be able to find at least a handful of brethren that we feel that close to, because we need that spiritually as well as physically. We need to have ones we can have confidence in. And that's really the whole point that I'm trying to get at with this, is that we need to do that. And we'll look at a scripture in a minute that talks about that. Because most of our friendship is built, or most of our spiritual friendship is built on what we share together in the truth. Important, but also that intensity that we know we have to have beyond just the head, the intellectual side. We have to reach the heart. Sister Donna Burke.
Maybe someday we'll have 144,000 really close friends.
We will, yes.
I really appreciated Pat's comments, and she said most of what I was thinking. And I just think that if you have someone you have difficulties with, it's probably a bigger part because it's yourself. And you need to think of ways that you can understand them better, get to know them a little more. I mean, Sister Janice mentioned that it's time. Time is a big, important element in developing these relationships. And I think if you take the time, you can make a friend or become closer to someone who might irritate you. So it's about our own habits and our own training, I think. That's what we're here for, to learn. Over.
Yeah, there was a song in the 60s, and it talked about there was a man that once I did not care for. One day the man gave me a call. We talked and talked and talked about things on our mind, and now that man is a friend of mine. And I think that's what we can do even with brethren sometimes, is it's an understanding that we reach. And we'll, again, thank you for that. We'll talk more about that. Sister Kathy Brooks.
Yes, brother, I was just going to say that, you know, in friendships in the Bible, Jonathan and David, exemplary, he was in line for the throne, and he recognized the Lord was with David and saved his life. And also with David, with Saul, recognized Saul was the anointed, and that you don't touch the anointed. And in the brotherhood, they're all anointed, and you don't touch the Lord's anointed. So you have to be very careful with that, but also recognizing that the adversary wants to sift. And he's very, so if you have a problem with someone, he'll probably multiply it for you. So you have to be very careful and stay close to the Lord and tell the adversary, resist him. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good. You should remember that old, sometimes the pictures, they had an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other, is telling you to do this and do this. And that's sometimes what we have, isn't it? Brother Jim Parkinson, next, please.
I've found two things that sometimes help, not completely, but when somebody really irritates me and continually, one is, at least for the time being, minimize the number of interactions. After all, I may be the irritant. And the second is to think, Jesus Christ died for him too. What are his good points? Focus on those good points, and from time to time, mention those good points to others. Sometimes it gets back to him and completely changes our relationship.
Good points, and goes along well with what were the 3 points, 3 principles that I think we will have and discover. Brother Richard.
You know, in my life, friends that I did develop, some of them started out very, very head-to-head opposed. We didn't get along very well at the beginning, but we turned into wonderful friends. So you've got to allow that roughness from one another to be accepted. And if you get into an event with somebody, do something with them, now you see a different side. That's why it's so nice to see all the brethren here interacting with one another. You learn something, little tidbits about one another, how you think and how you react. And it's wonderful. You can actually get to know one another without having the opportunity of being face-to-face physically.
Very good. Yes. Again, a real benefit I think we're getting out of the kind of time we can spend together on these meetings. Brother Aaron.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm talking so much, but
it's okay. If you don't talk, I have to. So that's
I understand that too. So I just wanted to share that when I made the comment that it's okay, I didn't mean that you shouldn't try to change it. I mean, it's important to recognize that it exists. And one of the techniques that I found that helps me a lot is I start praying for the individual. And when I start lifting them up in prayer, it changes me. I don't know if it changes them or not, but it starts changing me. And I start looking at them a little differently than what I had before. And the comments about many times those who irritate us are just exemplarizing or making evident our own faults. And it's their fault that we see, our faults that we see in them, that really rubs us the wrong way. And I think that's very true. So I would just suggest when you have a brother or sister or someone that bothers you in some way, you start lifting them up in prayer. And I remember Brother Jim Parkinson on the, I think it was the Chicago convention, or no, it was at the Albion convention, or New Year's, it was at the General Convention in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. He's speaking and he's on the stage. He walks out from behind the platform. I don't mean to embarrass you, Brother Jim, but it's something that stuck with me for a very long time. And he says, as he gets down on his knees on the auditorium, on the platform up there, he gets down on his knees and he says, the best way to talk about somebody is on your knees. And that is so powerful. And so thank you, Brother Jim. And it's, you know, I've started applying that. That's so very true.
Very good. Thank you. Brother Bob Brand.
Since a lot of the meeting now, especially in the last year, has been virtually like this at a convention, not in person, I think one of the things that helps build rapport that we took for granted when we were in person is we could look at each other. I have noticed that in a lot of conventions on Zoom, between 90 and 95% of the attendees are never visible. I call it the dark abyss, but I don't mean that in a bad way. Just don't see them. And I think that I know that you always can't, because maybe you just came in from baling hay or something like that. You don't want to be seen, but I think it's good for brethren to make an effort when it's doable, when it's possible, to be seen. Now, it's better that we attend. The point is not to be seen, but I think that can help facilitate conversation and fellowship and getting to know each other.
Yeah, that's a good, I like your comment, Bob, because it speaks to the danger we have today of social media and the impersonality of social media. I can say whatever I want. I don't have to see you face to face. And there's a real negativity in that. And that's what we see permeating society. And right, the last thing we want is for that same thing, to permeate the brotherhood. So very good.
I'll respond to you, Len, on Facebook on that. Okay.
All right. Either Brother MC or Sister Alice Williams, go ahead.
Sister Alice.
Hi, Sister Alice.
Hi. And I don't have my video on, but I am going to, because I'm going to the dentist this week and I'm going to get my upper done again. That's the reason I haven't been, showing my face as much.
Sister Alice, I tell you, Sister Alice is a great friend because she will word out to you, and it's really refreshing. So go ahead, Sister Alice.
I tell you, I have really gotten a lot and enjoyed the comments of all the brothers and sisters. And not growing up and having been in the truth all my life, it was a little bit strange when I came in because, first of all, I didn't know anybody. And when I was going to church and when I grew up in church, it was mostly all black churches. And then when I came in, I'm like, oh, man, I just felt like a total outsider. And so what I had since I've been in, I tell you, that love and that being accepted and the friendships that I have no friends on the outside. My only good friends is my sister, who's also a spiritual friend and a natural friend, my sister, and my husband, because he's a spiritual and sometimes friend too. And, but I hope you didn't get that.
Sometimes friend,
but always love, always. Anyway, I have some good friends that I have made in the truth. Quite a few that I talk to pretty much on a regular basis. I love our class. It's none of them in our class in Phoenix that you can't talk to and go to with comments and ask questions. It's a wonderful class. And I feel very, very loved and accepted in that class. And some of my very good friends have gone now. Sister Virginia Sowers and I spent a lot of time together. Tons. She came to our house and we would go over to her house and eat dinner out. And before she died, before my mom died, my mom was really up in age and we were trying to get her to make good decisions and take over and do things for her. And Sister Virginia told me, stop fighting with her and you let her tell you what she needs to have done. And you try to, you know, do it her way. And then you'll be able to get things done. And so I listened to her and I did. And things worked out really well. I love Virginia so much. And I think that was one of the saddest days was, other than my mom, was when Sister Virginia left here. But she told me she was so tired. She said, I am so ready. I don't know why I'm still here. But I told her because I felt she was there for me, for one thing. So I love all of you. I've met quite a few. I am going to start getting on using my video more as soon as I get my teeth in. And keep me in prayer always. Over.
Thank you, Sister Allison. Thank you for your refreshing ability to really tell us frankly. I just love your comments always, and they're always appropriate. And you just draw someone in, and that's the case. Is if we can draw the brethren in, that really is a big key in helping us to build these great relationships. Sister Kim Place.
Okay, thank you. I so much appreciated all the comments from everybody. I had to go on my phone. I've kind of been back and forth because Derek's a co-host, so we couldn't raise hands. But anyway, I so much appreciated the few comments that I just wanted to share is Brother Aaron just mentioned prayer, and that was my initial thought about brethren getting on your nerves or not liking certain things. And we all have those things to our personalities at times that the Lord is working with us on, but the prayer was my answer. And then I appreciated so much Sister Pat mentioning testimony meetings, which that's why I initially started going to the Florida Wednesday night testimonies is I thought, you know what? I don't know the brethren there. And the blessed way to get to know the brethren is by listening and being a part of the testimony meetings. So I appreciated that thought. And then the last thing I wanted to share is Derek and me will be married 25 years this year. And I went in the room a couple minutes ago and we both looked at each other and we are best friends and it's by the Lord's grace. But, you know, even when we first got married with all the different things we've been through, I know that brethren have heard me say this before, but I think it's so true. One of my prayers was, Lord, help me to love him the way you want me to love him, the way that I need to love him, that'll be pleasing to you. And that's the way I feel about our brothers and sisters in Christ too. We all have different needs. We all have different things that we want. But if we ask the Lord's way and his will, I believe he'll bless that. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Kim. And I will just mention, because we're pushing up time here, Sister Kim, we didn't know very well, she became a great friend by spending a week with her and helping us in something she never had to do. We had a sister in our class in Delaware Valley whose daughter died. She lived in Colorado. And Sister Kim came with us and helped us for a whole week clean out this apartment. We got to know each other really well.
And Debbie Moss.
You didn't give me a chance to get to them.
Oh, thank you, friend.
Okay. And it was wonderful. And the same happened. We stayed with Jim and Debbie Moss. And we just, you know, had that sort of ability to talk and talk and talk on a lot of different issues, personal and spiritual. And that's one of the keys, I think, just to get to be able to do that. And we need to open up ourselves to that as well. And I think that's one of the keys, to be approachable and to make ourselves vulnerable. That's really important. So, Sister Linda Larson, then I want to touch on a couple of scriptures before we have to close.
I just have a question first for David. The name Willa Zur just keeps popping into my brain. It may have been from her that I heard about Brother Russell, because she was one of those old timers who knew him. But at any rate, we're talking about people who, brethren who bother us. What if we know we're the brother or we're the sister, in my case, who bothers them? There are two individuals, amongst our fellowship who find me a great trial. And one of them has literally said, I don't like you and I never will. And another, her body language tells me the story. I do pray for them and I try to keep out of their way, so to speak, unless I give them further trouble. But if there's anything else I can do that I could be a blessing to my sisters.
Oh, that's a powerful question. Anybody want to respond to that? Okay. Thank you. First, oh, wonderful. Bill and Ruth Bender, thank you.
Yes. Boy, that's something. I've never even heard this was possible, but I do know this. If we have the full armor of God on, I'd like to always think that there's nothing you could ever say or do to me that would make me love you any less. I like to think that if I misinterpret someone's feelings, or if they just come right out and say they don't like me, well, I still want to have love in my heart, and I want to let them know that I love them. And I'm not, I don't know how you could be even thinking about being a participant in the prize for the high calling without a hard attitude of loving everyone and not letting anything that anyone does, you know, deter us from our walk. So I think it's important to pray and make sure you have the full armor of God. And if you don't, just ask God to get you through those moments where you have those experiences, and I think it'll work out for the best. But the important thing is don't let it injure you or us individually because of someone else's actions. We must maintain a spirit of love. Over.
Yeah. Very good. Sister Gretchen.
Well, I think that I appreciated Bill's comments. if you could say to them, have I done anything that has offended you? And if I have, I'm truly sorry. And I think if you ask them, if, because sometimes I've had a situation that I offended somebody and I had no idea at all that I did. And I knew that she was acting kind of cold towards me, a sister, in the truth, but I couldn't understand why. So finally, you know, I think I went up to her. I said, did I do something or did I do anything to hurt you or offend you? And then she told me, and I didn't even know that I did it. So I think if you maybe approach it that way, or, you know, and like Bill says, I love you. And if I hurt you, I am so sorry. And, you know, always bring it back to yourself. Bring it back to yourself until instead of them. We all are at different stages of our development. And sometimes people, you know, just, you know, need a little bit of encouragement, you know, in that way. Thank you.
And before I call Sister Lynn Wilson from our class in Phoenix, could someone look up 1 John 3:18 and have that? So we want to read that when this comment's done. Sister Lynn Wilson.
Good evening. It's wonderful to be here. I just wanted to say that I guess I'm just going to take it down to a child level. I have twin 10-year-old, they're 11 now, grandson's sons. And I say that because I adopted them when they were infants. But the reason I'm saying this is they had an older cousin who has autism. And when they were all very young, about 2 or 3 years old, their older cousin would call them babies. So they came to me and they said, we hate Darius. We don't like him. And I said, why? And they never would say. And then about a few months later, when he came to visit from El Paso, they said, we love Darius. I said, you do? Why? Because he doesn't call us baby anymore. So their whole like or dislike about him was a word, baby. They didn't want to be called baby. So, you know, we give off an air or say something, one word that can set a person off. And if that person doesn't come and tell you that you don't like that word or whatever, you don't know. Another thing is, I kind of was curious about the word like.
12 3/4.
In the Bible, many, many times. But it was kind of hard for me to find the word like. Jesus never told his disciples.
Well, you just faded out, Sister Lynn. I think we lost her. Sister Janine, did you have that scripture?
I do.
Great.
1 John 3:18. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And our deeds should show much more of our heart attitude. Yeah. So we need to be cautious on what we say.
Yeah, I love that scripture. Let us not just love in word and say, I love everybody, but we must do it in deed and truth. Sister Joanne.
I was thinking for Sister Linda that, you know, with the one who said what she said, she might ask if she'd be willing to sit down with an elder. That almost seems like this is the kind of situation that might be best worked out with an elder. Maybe she's tried it. I don't know. But a couple other things aside that have helped me is our brethren, they're the only ones on the planet that have the same goals in life that we have, the same goal. And so if I've had difficulty with someone, I've said to myself, well, I know that they want the best for me. I just kind of repeat that. And it just kind of helps the situation. And then a third thing I thought of was Brother Bob Gray gave a talk about when you're having difficulty with someone and it's a, like a situational kind of thing. Let's just say you think they're 90% the problem and you're only 10%. Well, you have the opportunity to work, to work on that 10%. And I've used that as, that's helped me too. So over.
Thank you. Brother, our time is just about up. I wanted to at least leave three suggestions that I had these three principles. But I will tell you from my own personal standpoint, I look at someone in the truth personally that is my friend. If I can just tell them what I think, if I'm upset with them, I can tell them what I think about it, and they don't get upset with me about doing it. And then it's past. It's gone. And I think some of that's important is how we can relate to each other. And so I think here's what I call the three A's of building a better friendship with the brethren, the filial kind of love that we need to have. Number one, acceptance. Don't fashion a spiritual or any kind of a straitjacket and expect others to wear that in order to be accepted. The more you can accept a person as they are, the more chance you have to reshape their behavior. It's like Brother Aaron said about, I don't like your behavior, but accept them, not the behavior. As they gain confidence and as you gain confidence in each other, you can offer advice. And I think that's really what Jesus did with so many. It doesn't mean you're lowering your ideals. Jesus never lowered his ideals, but he brought the people up. And that's really what we want to do. Number two, approval. And this was mentioned earlier by a couple of you. If you have a problem with someone, look for something to approve in them, not the things you don't. Let that person know what you approve of them, and you'll find out that the number of things that you approve are going to grow. When a person gets that taste of your genuineness, then that's going to spill over, I think, into behavior. You'll find that relationship really changes. When we're impatient with someone's progress, just find one thing that you can approve of. And the third is appreciation. When you look at this screen, brethren, and you look at the number, 110 participants that are on here. Appreciation. How do you define appreciation? Well, we define it in investments to raise in value. And I think that's really what it is. Consider how valuable the brethren are to you. Figure out ways to tell them, and especially those perhaps that you're not as close to, how valuable they are. Philemon 6, Paul talked about that. And I think you'll find that if we do that, we'll realize that every day, every brother or sister is trying to paint a picture of Jesus in their life. You know, sometimes we make a mess. And the last thing we need is for someone to say, boy, did you mess up? We need that kiss of encouragement. We need that care that others can express. Benjamin West was a great painter. He painted so many of the things in early America. And he said that what made him a painter is one day when his mother came home and there was paint spread all over, and she just looked at it and said, you know, it's a beautiful picture of your sister. If we can just do that, the benefit we can provide to others is we can make them more tender. We can make ourselves more tender, more noble, more loving, more kind, better neighbor, and more desirable. We can put oil on that trouble of experience that they have. Brethren, let us continue to try to serve others and likewise let us allow us to be served by others. Jesus did that. He served, and success really is measured not by how many serve you, but how many you can serve.